Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante with our special guest, Dustin Schutte from SaturdayTradition.com, the website for all things Big Ten sports. You could catch everything from SaturdayTradition.com on our app. Just download Keystone Sports, and you could get everything from our good buddy, Dustin Schutte. Dustin, welcome back to the show. Always great to talk Big Ten football with you.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show and to talk Big Ten football, and we've had some exciting weeks recently, so it's been even better as we're now in full November mode.
And the only thing that's better than exciting Big Ten football is when you win your bets. And my friends, if you've been following Dustin Schutte here, you again were 2-1 this past weekend. He had Penn State over Maryland. He had Purdue he took against Michigan State. So he was right there. His only loss was Ohio State at Nebraska. Ohio State didn't cover. And if you're keeping track of this, and I know you are, Dustin is now 17-12 on the season against the spread. That's 59%. I'd love to be 59% in Vegas, Dustin.
I think you'd go home with a lot of money if you were betting 59% in Vegas. I gotta try to keep that going. I know I've had a few bad weeks here and there, but fortunately for the most part, I've been mostly consistent. Now, the one thing I would throw out there, Jim, is that if I actually went to Vegas and placed money, I would be 12-17. That's a guarantee.
I was gonna ask you if you were following your own advice and betting, you'd be making some good money. So anyway. Let's move forward. Let's talk a little bit Big Ten in general. We usually go over your picks. This week, I want to talk about a couple other things. And the excitement of the Big Ten really came from the wide receivers. We at Penn State, we see Jahan Dotson, and we say, you know what? Here was another example this weekend. 11 catches, 242 yards, 3 touchdowns. Well, he was only one of 3 Big Ten receivers with over 200 yards. Tell me about David Bell. Tell me about Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Jaxon Smith-Njigba because I thought that he had probably one of the most impressive days when you consider the fact that he had to step up for Garrett Wilson, who was ruled out for that game against Nebraska. And you thought that probably that meant Chris Olave was going to have to step up or somebody else was going to have to step up. But instead, Jaxon Smith-Njigba found ways to get open. He turned a short little pass into a 75-yard touchdown run, touchdown reception. I mean, he was just a nightmare for that Nebraska defense. And if anybody's watched the Huskers this season, as much as they struggled, they sit 3-7, their defense has been pretty good. So for him to be getting open that consistently, set some program records at Ohio State, which is a crazy thing to do for a wide receiver, he had a really impressive day. And then you look at David Bell at Purdue. I mean, he was just, at this point, it's kind of like I say the term Jahan Dotson doing Jahan Dotson things. You can kind of use that same phrase for David Bell because they just throw the ball his general direction. Every team knows he's the best player on the field. It doesn't matter. Aiden O'Connell's going to throw that ball up to him, and he's going to come down with it. Just extraordinary. We saw it a few weeks ago against Iowa. This was a Michigan State secondary that's very, it's just bad. At times it's been bad this season. We saw it a couple weeks ago against Michigan. We saw it last week against Purdue, and Purdue was able to take advantage. And it, I mean, David Bell's not a guy you want to leave open, but there was even times when he was avoiding tackles, throwing defenders off the sideline, tiptoeing the sideline, just an incredible all-around performance. And then Jahan Dotson, the thing I really liked about that, he had a great performance against Maryland on the road in front of his family. He got very emotional after that career-setting day, just everything that they sacrificed. I still think that those three guys, if they're wearing SEC uniforms or maybe if their teams are sitting, 8-0, 9-0, they're probably in the Heisman Trophy conversation right now.
It's interesting you say that because prior to the Penn State game, I think it was Reggie Bush in one of the pregame shows, and the Penn State game was coming up. He called Jahan Dotson the best receiver in the country, and my bias says that. However, with that said, I have to be honest with you. I watched all of the Iowa-Purdue game. I loved David Bell. Just loved him. And you and I know, discussed this, and it may have been off the air, that Penn State really was hot and heavy for David Bell. And I could just picture Bell and Dotson on the same field, on the same team. That would have been spectacular.
Oh, man, that would have been a nightmare. We talk about Ohio State's, you know, embarrassment of riches with Smith and Jigba, Olave and Garrett Wilson. But can you imagine David Bell and Jahan Dotson? I mean, there would be... You could put up the best secondary in the country, maybe even some NFL secondaries, and they're not going to stop those that combination. That's how good those two guys are. I do legitimately think that those two guys are probably the best two receivers in the Big Ten. And on top of that, like I said, if both those teams are sitting at 8-1 or 9-0 right now, we're talking about them being Heisman Trophy candidates. They're that good, and they're that important to their team's success.
I do have one question for you about the teams playing against them. In that Iowa-Purdue game, it struck me how often Iowa was playing man-to-man, one man on David Bell. And it just seemed unfair to that kid to have to cover him one-on-one. And I'm surprised at how often I see that against Jahan Dotson. There's one man, no help with the safety. Do these teams watch tape?
That's a great question. We're going to have to ask some coaches and get the insight there. That's something I've never been able to understand either. And especially the best example I can give is because of the Purdue-Iowa connection there. Because David Bell's destroyed Iowa for three consecutive years. So you would think that they would try to do something different, but they never did. The only thing I can think is that teams like Penn State, Ohio State, Purdue, some of those other teams, they have so many weapons that you can't really afford to just focus in and zero in on one guy. That's my only thought, is that if you double or play a zone coverage or something in that regard, then you're going to leave another really good wide receiver open, and maybe they just don't want to deal with that. But, I mean, there's no good choice, in my opinion.
The final thought on that, those three guys combined for 699 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 37 receptions on Saturday. That's three guys, one game each. Just incredible. All right, before we look forward to this coming week, I did want to ask you one more question. As Penn State fan, I don't, and I know most Penn State fans don't pay attention to the Big Ten West, but what we have here is every team with at least 2 losses, and Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota, 4 teams all tied with 2 losses, each one of them with 3 games to go. Pick me a winner.
I'm going with Wisconsin, and it's crazy to say that because a few weeks ago this team was sitting at 1-3. They had the worst red zone offense in the country. They were turning the ball over constantly. Graham Mertz was throwing more touchdowns to defensive backs than he was his own teammates. So for them to be sitting at 6-3 with a 5-game winning streak, with wins over the 2 most important teams right now against Iowa, against Purdue, 2 of those other 3 teams in that race right now, I just don't see how teams are going to move the ball against this defense. I mean, it's too good. If Wisconsin doesn't get blown out by Notre Dame in the fourth quarter and Michigan in the fourth quarter, we're talking about this defense maybe being the second best in the country behind Georgia. They're that good. Jim Leonard is really good at his craft. So I'm taking Wisconsin. The thing that's crazy, Jim, is we've talked about, you know, we'll see how the East kind of sorts itself out. But this chaotic year where, you know, 9 or 10 ranked teams are getting beat every single week, we may end up with Ohio State and Wisconsin, a very typical Big Ten championship game in December.
We very well could. And just to let you know, Wisconsin has Northwestern, Nebraska, and Minnesota left on their schedule. All right, let's look forward now. Purdue at Ohio State, Purdue the giant slayer. You bring in a top-ranked team, they'll slay them. And they're a 20-point underdog at Ohio State.
I don't get that, especially when you look at how Ohio State's played the last 2 weeks. You know, they had a 9-point game against Nebraska. They had a 9-point game against Penn State. All of their big wins came against Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, Akron, Tulsa. So for me, I think that Ohio State is going to win this game. They have too many weapons on the offensive end. I think when you look at the defense, they're playing better. They're scoring a lot of touchdowns. Aiden O'Connell for Purdue has been high risk, high reward. He's been playing really well lately, but I think he's going to toss a couple picks in this game. But the way Purdue's defense has played, they've kept them in games. So I think that Ohio State will win, but I'm taking Purdue to cover that massive spread.
All right, that's a pretty good call, I think. Then we have two of those top four teams in the West playing each other. Minnesota is at Iowa, and Iowa is a 6.5-point favorite, according to our DraftKings buddies.
Well, in this game, I'm thinking that wherever the ball lands when it's kicked off is where it's going to stay for the entire first half, and then in the second half, the same thing's going to happen when the ball is kicked off, because these two offenses the last couple weeks have not looked very good. Minnesota's been able to run the ball through a majority of the season, but now that they're down to their fourth and fifth string running backs, Kai Thomas, Marquise Irving, and the fact that they aren't able to throw the ball really at all with Tanner Morgan, their wide receivers haven't been playing great, the offensive line hasn't been good in pass protection, I think that Iowa's going to create just enough turnovers like we saw those first couple games, like we saw last weekend against Northwestern. I think Iowa creates just enough turnovers, and they keep the best trophy in college football. They keep Floyd of Rosedale.
You obviously haven't seen the great trophy that's given out between Michigan State and Penn State. That is the ugliest trophy in the history of college football. All right, let's get to the one that Penn State fans are concerned about. It's Michigan at Penn State, probably the game of the week in the Big Ten, and it's a pick'em game. Does that surprise you that it's a pick'em game? And which way are you going with Michigan and the Nittany Lions?
Well, when you look at the records and you look at the way Michigan has kind of beat teams this season, it does surprise me that it's a pick 'em. I thought Michigan would be favored in this game, even though they're going on the road to State College to play Penn State. I think last week's win for Penn State was, I think they came out and lacked a little motivation in that game against Maryland, but they got it together. They were able to make some plays down the stretch, especially in the fourth quarter, and put the final nail in the coffin of Maryland and finally get back on the winning track, clinch bowl eligibility. This is a game to me about pride. This is still a big time, quote unquote, a rivalry game with Big Ten East rivals. And the thing I still don't like about Michigan is I still don't see that killer instinct. We've seen it occasionally in a game against Indiana. They were able to make a few plays late, but this Michigan team allows opponents to hang around. And when you're playing a team as talented as Penn State with Sean Clifford at 100%, I'm taking Penn State to win this outright.
All right. Penn State's been pretty good to you over the weeks, Dustin. We'll see if they can do that again. I know we're all looking forward to that game. But that is it for this edition of the show. As always, it goes way too fast. And thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.